So no one has to teach children about shame. Every child understands shame to some extent. If you've ever babysat children or had children of your own, they have some sort of understanding of shame, and it's almost like they're built with a shame meter in them that gets turned up to red alert with a disapproving look from mom or a sneer from a playmate. We can laugh at these reactions in our kids, but we as grown adults have a kind of shame meter that goes off in certain situations, and we deal with others in terms of shame and honor and those currencies. We may be better at masking that as opposed to our children, but every culture, whether explicitly or implicitly, understands shame and dishonor. We're not a bunch of toddlers, but I want us to take that understanding into our text tonight in Psalm 69. So if you would open your Bibles with me to Psalm 69. Our verse tonight is verse 19 in the psalm. But I want us to get a little bit of context before we actually read verse 19. This is a pleading prayer by David. So David is God's anointed king, much like anointed prophets after him and before him. But he's very much rejected by people around him. His shame meter, so to speak, if you follow with me, is about to surpass 100. The glass on the dial is about to crack. He is under immense pressure from his enemies. And a few verses will illuminate this before our verse 19. So if you read with me verse 1 of Psalm 69. Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. And later verse 4. More in number than the hairs of my head are those who hate me without cause. Mighty are those who would destroy me, those who attack me with lies. What I did not steal must I now restore. Verse 12, I am the talk of those who sit in the gate, and the drunkards make songs about me. Verse 14, deliver me from sinking in the mire. Let me be delivered from my enemies and from the deep waters. And verse 17, lastly, hide not your face from your servant, for I am in distress. Make haste to answer me. Have any of you felt like this before, where public shame and dishonor towards you just feels so unwarranted? It's at least really high, whether it's warranted or not. It's intense, and you're feeling the weight of it. Your shame meter is about to break. With this context set, we read in our text, verse 19, David shouting to his Lord, our Lord, you know my reproach and my shame and my dishonor. My foes are all known to you. This is a switch in tone. David is turning from decrying this great shame that he's feeling to actually telling God that you know this. So I think for you note takers, you can rephrase our verse tonight in the simple point that God expects and understands his people's shame, what they feel for his name's sake. God expects and understands his people's shame felt for his name's sake. That'll be our point tonight, but that raises a concern and a comfort. First, I want us to talk about the concern. So it raises a concern and a comfort to us. The concern coming out of this verse is, put simply, can we pray the same way that David does here? Can we say these things to God? More specifically, if we claim Christ and have never felt this kind of dishonor or reproach, then I want us to see that we need to examine ourselves and our public witness. So Christian, if shame for the sake of Christ is foreign to you, I at least want you to walk away knowing that It's indeed promised to you if you claim Christ. Now, I'm telling you that you ought to be concerned if you've never felt this and you claim Christ, but I'm not telling you to seek rejection for its own sake. It's not commanded or healthy, but you'll notice that David is feeling this for the sake of God's name, that his dishonor is hitched to the dishonor that people feel towards God himself. Much like good works, rejection by the world is just a natural result of hitching your reputation and your life to Jesus. So, do any of these situations describe you? If you carry on the gossip of close friends, you won't feel rejection. You won't face it. If you join with coworkers in fudging the numbers this month as a white lie, you will go unscathed for the moment. If you remain silent in response to false teaching in the church or elsewhere, you won't be shamed for that. You won't face rejection or what David is describing here. But on the other hand, do these situations describe you? So if you treat your body as a temple of the Holy Spirit, especially as a young adult, you will be mocked in some sense. If you tell your boss you can't travel as much for the sake of your family, the stress that it's putting on you, you might be passed up for that next promotion. You will face shame if you don't sacrifice to the idols that this world props up. And it's my hope that you would instead sacrifice to the Lord with your obedience. But I just pray that you see that shame is promised. And if we don't feel that and we claim the name of Christ, we need to examine ourselves. This morning in Mark 6, 1 through 6, Brad helped us learn a little bit about the nature of the world's rejection of Jesus. It was personal and painful, as we discussed just a minute ago, Jesus' own family. But we ought not be surprised when the world rejects Jesus' followers the same way that they reject him. That shouldn't surprise us. Again, do not pursue rejection for its own sake, because if you look back with me to verse 9 in Psalm 69, "For zeal for your house has consumed me, and the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me." So it's a solid line drawn from zeal for the Father's house and reproach upon the believer. That is the line, the connection that's drawn. And not just merely that we face rejection, but it is for God's sake. It is for his name. And my question to follow this, to end this concern is, if you haven't felt this kind of dishonor, might you be lacking zeal for the Father's house? Might you be lacking public witness and zeal for the great joy that Christ has offered us? Okay, that's kind of the Brussels sprouts, so I'm going to give you some dessert. The truth of this verse offers a concern that we just talked about, but it also offers us immense comfort. I'll read the verse again. "You know my reproach and my shame and my dishonor. My foes are all known to you." If you have your slip, you can even underline the word "know" and the word "known." Those are what the verse hinges on. So this comfort, I would describe it as God knows David's shame and our shame and dishonor, because in Christ, God experienced the shame of the whole world's sin. David says in verse 19, "My foes are all known to you." His enemies are known to God personally. But if we think of Christ, his foes, his enemies, were his very creation. He felt the shame of an enmity from his own created children. This is good news that Jesus came into the world and lived a spotless life, and was eventually rejected by that very world that he desired to come into. This is good news for you and me because Christ willingly died to replace our shame that we've been discussing with his honor that he naturally came into the world with. He came to replace our sin with his holiness. And then he rose from the dead 3 days later to actually secure our place in his kingdom. But all we bring to the table are our repentance and our faith, our turning from sin and our belief in his power. But if that message doesn't make sense to you, or if you're interested in joining this kingdom, please find me or talk to the person who brought you here. But fellow believers in this gospel, Psalm 69:19 is a balm for our souls on this side of eternity. It's a balm for our souls because we can actually rest knowing that our Lord understands our rejection and dishonor more than we do. We can rest in him knowing that he empathizes with this. He empathizes with his own church, calling his church his own body. David's prayer that you know is a comforting declaration that you empathize. You understand my situation. It's honestly a sigh of relief in the midst of him just decrying his great shame. So David's public shame meter, to bring back a metaphor, may still be maxed out at its end, but his Lord's comfort and tender care overcome it. So would you go with me to the Lord in prayer?